Fiat. May 14th, 1935. One who does the divine will has no need of the law. One who lives in it gives work to all. To the celestial Father, to the celestial Mother, and also to Jesus. I am in the arms of my adorable divine volition, though immersed in the pain of the privation of my blessed Jesus. Hours are centuries without him. What pain! What a continuous death, with no pity and no mercy. Justly does he punish me, because too ungrateful and uncorresponding have I been. But, oh please, my love, hide my miseries inside your wounds. Cover me with your blood. I unite my pains to yours, that they may cry out together, pity, forgiveness, over this poor creature. But without you, I can endure no more. But while I was pouring out my sorrow, my sweet Jesus moved compassion for my long martyrdom, like flesh that escapes, made me his short little visit, and told me, my blessed daughter, do not become alarmed. My divine will places everything in your power in such a way that you can say, everything is mine. My pains, my wounds, my blood, everything is yours. So, you had no need to ask me for them, but take them to use them for your needs. This is so true. The one in whom my divine will reigns has no need of the law, but feels within herself her own nature changed into divine law. Just as by nature she feels the force of her breath, of her heartbeat, so does she feel the force of the law as substantial to her life. And since my law is law of love, of sanctity, of order, thus she feels within herself the nature of love, of sanctity, of order. Wherever my will reigns, its love is so great that it transforms the goods it wants to give to the creature into her very nature, that she may be the owner of them. No one can take them away from you, and I myself make myself the custodian of the gifts in nature conceded to this creature. Sweet Jesus became silent, and my mind kept swimming in the sea of the divine will. And, resuming his speech, he added, my daughter, you must know, the one who lives in my will gives everyone work to do. My celestial Father, seeing his creature in his divine volition, places himself around her to form the work of his image and likeness. More so, since finding his will in her, he finds the adaptable material suitable to receive his work, to form the most beautiful image that resembles him. And oh, his contentment, for with his work, he can produce his own images. She gives work to the celestial mother, because finding my divine will in the creature, she finds one who keeps her company, who receives her maternity as daughter. She finds one to whom she can communicate her fecundity, her acts done in my volition. She finds one in whom she can form her model and her faithful copy. And, oh, the contentment of this celestial mother, her zealous work, her cares, her maternal attentions, as she can act as true mother and give her inheritance. And since the will of the mother and of the daughter are one, she can make herself understood and place her graces, her love, her sanity in common. In her work, she feels happy because she finds one who courts her, who resembles her, and lives of her same divine will. Those who live in it are her favorite daughters, her beloved ones, her secretaries. It can be said that by virtue of my divine volition, they possess a powerful magnet which attracts the gazes of this celestial mother so much that she cannot move them away from upon them. And the great lady, to keep this creature safe, works by placing around her her virtues, her sorrows, her love, and the very life of her son. But this is not all. I, your Jesus, as I see that the creature has put her will aside to live of mine, I get down to work in order to form my members. My head is holy, and I feel the need for holy members upon which to place my head and therefore be able to communicate its virtue to them. And who can ever form for me these holy members if not my will? Therefore, my work is incessant for one who lives in my will. It can be said that I put myself on guard inside and outside of her so that no one may enter and interrupt my work. And in order to form these members, I repeat the work of being newly conceived in order to regenerate them. I am reborn in order to make them be reborn. I cry, I suffer, I preach, I die, to communicate my vital and divine humors to these members, that they may be fortified and divinized, worthy of my head most holy. And, oh, my contentment, that, though I am working, I repeat my life, and I form the repeaters of it. What would I not do and give in one who lives in my will? My will encloses me in the creature to let me work and make me form members worthy of my creative hands. And as the soul receives my work, I feel happy and repaid of the work of creation and redemption. Now, the angels, the saints, in seeing the celestial father, the sovereign queen, and their king, all intent on working in this creature, they too want to help us in the work. And lining themselves up around the fortunate creature, they work by defending her. They drive away the enemies. They free her from dangers and form walls of fortitude so that no one may bother her. See then how one who lives in my divine will gives work to all, and all occupy themselves with her.